Fashion, food, film, and music. Some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
Hello, my lovelies. We are in a weird mood today. This will be fun.
It's a full moon, people. It's a full moon, and I'm feeling it, and so is Steve. And guess what? It's a full moon in Scorpio. Do you know anything about
Nothing.
That? Nothing. Uh-huh. It's called the pink moon. I generally find that when there's a full moon, I cannot fall asleep, stay asleep. I woke up at 5:40 yesterday. I woke up at some other ungodly hour the day before. This morning I woke up at ungodly hour and I couldn't fall asleep last night. So I swear it just, you know, we're 98% water. So we're dictated by the moon.
Wow.
Yeah, don't you know these things?
I have a feeling I'm going to learn a lot from you, Sibeline, like I always have.
I think we're going to learn a lot from each other today because we have a great show. We're going to talk about the one, the only... I wish I had an even better intro for him, but Tom Ford, who is the master of all, everything he touches turns to gold. And we're going to talk about the NBA basketball players and their fashion style. We're going to touch on the fact that it's almost Mother's Day and all of our mommies
almost
out there. I'm going to then interview Steve on what it is to become an artist, musician in this, you know, world and how you get there.
Can't wait for this interview.
don't you remember that's what we're going to do today?
Are you going to tell
you grow a musician is what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
And you and I discussed this and you were like, yeah, cool.
Can you just tell me a little bit about my astrological sign first? Because I'm a Gemini.
Okay. So the Gemini. Generally, the birthday is always in May. It goes into, it starts middle May, goes into middle June. Mm-hmm. What's your birthday?
May 24th, same day as Bob Dylan.
Oh, okay.
Proud
so
of
you're
that
right
fact.
In the smack dab middle kind of the sign window. Or you're kind of on the earlier side of it because it usually starts in the 20s.
22nd, I think. I think I'm
okay,
pretty early.
Okay, so you're early. Yeah. You're early. And
I did know that.
The Gemini is the sign of the twin. So I often refer to the Gemini as, they have two different personalities.
I guess mood swings would be a good way to describe me, although I've mellowed out over the years and I'm not as moody as I used to be.
So when you say mood swings, does that mean you're angry, you're happy, you're sad, you're depressed, you're fired up?
Yep.
All of the above.
All of the above.
So... the Gemini is generally what I refer to as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Sorry.
I wonder why. You must have known a Gemini at one time
My
in your life besides me.
My father is a Gemini.
Your father's a Gemini. Yeah. He's an artist. Makes sense.
May 30th. He's May 30th. And then it also matters like what time you were born and where your stars were aligned. Do you know what time you were born?
I was born at 6 a.m., I believe.
Oh, no wonder you're such a morning person.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're saying getting up at 5:40 is early for me. That's late. I'm up by 5 every day.
I know. I noticed that. You are a super early bird. Now, will you always like that in the music biz?
When I was touring with bands,
because
I used to go to bed at like 5 in the
exactly.
morning, but especially when I was on the road, I tried to get to sleep by 3. That would be my goal because I usually had to get going by 10 or 11
of
the
course.
Next day.
You gotta get the band rolling.
Now it's a little different though. I get very creative in the morning and I lose it. At night, it's hard for me. Although last night I did do some late night research on one of the topics we're going to discuss today. But usually I don't do that.
So it's interesting because I've always been a night owl and I was born at 9:06 p.m.
Oh. Hmm.
And I swear I get my creative energy. It hits me at 9:00 at night.
Wow.
Now, as soon as I had a child, I had to totally switch gears and I had to go to bed early and get up early because she was... not always. She wasn't like that kid that woke up at 5 or 6 in the morning. But, I had to be present and on point. And, but I'm definitely get my creative juices at night. Like if I, like this week, cause I'm solo this week, I just had her for school vacation week, and I will generally stay up later and get more creative as the evening goes on. But I will say that as you get older, I think in general, people start to wake up earlier and they go to bed earlier and, you know, they become that more like, you know, 0600 hours and to bed at 2000 hours.
I was going to say, you know, it's like you and I, opposites attract, you know. You do all your work at night. I do all my work in the morning, you know.
I tend to now do them in the morning. I mean, I'm definitely a morning person now, and I prefer to be a morning person. I'd rather go to bed at 8:30 or 9. But anyway, so I'm a Virgo, and you're a Gemini. And a Virgo is, they often call the Virgo the Virgin and the Vixen.
No comment.
Yeah, I'll leave it to no comment as well. But the Virgo is the perfectionist. The Virgo can sometimes be
gullible.
You are
a perfectionist. There's no doubt about that.
A workaholic.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that when, and I think Tom Ford is a perfectionist. I was actually looking, I wanted to see his sign is. But I think, and we'll segue into Tom Ford in just a second, but what has been interesting for me as a business owner, and I know for Tom Ford as well, is when you basically expect, you know, you have high expectations. And I don't think that high expectations are a bad thing. I think that to expect a lot from people, if you give a lot and you do, you know, go above and beyond, it's okay. And I think Tom Ford would, I mean, I know he is the same way. And so it'll be, oh, did you look up his birthday?
Yeah, he was born in August.
Yeah.
August what? 27th.
Oh, my God, 61. He's a Virgo.
Wow, he was born in 61. I didn't think he was that
he's
old.
He's a Virgo.
He's a good-looking man.
He is such a good look, and he's gay.
Yes.
You know, I've always been attracted to him and always known he was gay, you know. And did you hear his voice? What a like regal voice he has. Like he has this accent that it's like he must be a prep school boy.
Well,
like,
you know where he's from originally. I did a little bit of research. He grew up in Texas and New Mexico, and he moved to New York when he was 17.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he do when at 17?
He was really smart. He was already taking college courses when he was like 16, and he moved to New York to take acting classes. And then he went to Parsons for an architecture. His degree is in architecture, not even in design. He fooled people to get the job.
Wow, interesting. Yeah.
I watched this documentary. I cheated a little bit, which was really good.
No. I'm really glad you did because there's so much to know about Tom Ford. I mean, he has just, like I said, everything that he does turns to gold. And it's because of his work ethic. And he has this YouTube little video that somebody produced about him that talks about his top 12, you know, guides to success.
I got to watch that.
Oh, I'm going to talk about it today because it's really, it's exactly what I've always modeled my life after. And I didn't even know, I mean, I swear he and I are parallel people. And maybe it's the Virgo, honestly, because the Virgo is a perfectionist and is a workaholic and is very driven. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just love everything that he does. So
I'm loving him more and more by the minute. I learned so much.
Yeah. Tell me what else you feel like you learned about.
Well,
Tom
you know, I like to jump ahead, but I'll try not to.
No.
The
fine.
Thing that really impressed me about him is he got a job in the fashion world and he didn't even have a degree in fashion. He had this architecture degree and he became the design director at Gucci when he was only 30. Now, I don't know what that means, but I'm sure you're going to tell me that's an impressive job. He basically gets credit for reinventing Gucci.
Yeah, he reinvented Gucci. He came in after the Gucci brothers, I believe it was. They brought him in as the creative director. I mean, I didn't know he was 30 when he did that. I mean, he reinvented Gucci. He put them on the map again. Gucci was always a brand that mattered, but it wasn't what it is
today. He took
today.
It to the next level,
right? He took it 10 levels up, you know? And I remember coveting Gucci early on in my life, but knowing that Tom Ford was behind that. Like, once I really noticed Gucci, it was because of Tom Ford. And I think most people who enjoy Gucci would say that. I mean, it's not just the women's wear of Gucci either. Like, it's the fragrance. I mean, he did handbags, he did shoes, he did eyeglasses, he did, you know, and then all of these same things for himself in his own brand, which we will talk about. But yeah, I mean, he brought back that whole green and red stripe that people wear. You know, I have a handbag that has it. I have Gucci shoes that I bought at a consignment shop because I could probably, you know, at the time never afford Gucci shoes. But I found a pair of Gucci shoes for like $60 right in Davis Square, actually. And it has that signature ribbon that he does,
right,
or that they did. And he brought that back. He also, as far as I know, I'm going to say he brought into the scene the bumblebee. The bumblebee, which is kind of all over everything. And it's actually all over everything right now. And he's no longer the creative director for Gucci. But they've brought it back this season, last season, the season before. This bumblebee that's really cute. And they're putting it on everything. Shoes and handbags and this and that. So what did you take from all that as far as him being the creative director at 30?
I didn't take a lot of notes, but the ones I took were fantastic. Mm. He did. There's a story that came out in The Guardian in September 2008, and this is one paragraph I took from it that I thought was best.
Now, interesting, because he went out on his own in 2006.
Yes, he started his own brand. Mm-hmm. And do you want me to talk about that first? Because I do know that he...
whatever. Just tell me.
Well, he got sick of doing film. Okay, first he started his own brand, and he had a lot of celebrities for friends. And he did this big show, and he had Lauren Hutton, Beyonce, Julianne Moore, Rita Wilson all go on the runway, which people thought was, like, so different. They weren't, like, the typical models. They were, like, he had old, young, everything.
That's what I did, too.
Before he went and became a director, which is before that, he did a story with The Guardian, and this is the paragraph I took from The Guardian. Ford has been described as, and I love this quote, the straightest gay man in the world. I thought that was fabulous.
Totally.
Maybe this refers to his fondness for making appreciative remarks about women's bodies. Maybe it's a faintly homophobic comment about his tough business mind, as though a gay man couldn't possibly do spreadsheets. I thought that was a great quote.
Completely.
One of the things I noticed when he did his art show, he's very hands-on. He was, like, touching women, like, all over their bodies, and they were, like, just standing there like, it's Tom
Ford. You mean
when he's
doing his fashion show?
Yeah, it was, like, really hands-on.
Well, he's the designer. Yeah, he has to touch every single model before they walk out on the runway. I did that, too.
Right.
You have to make sure the dress is perfect, that her boobs not hanging out, that, you know.
Normal people that don't know about design, that's why it's great to have you here to explain that, because I had no idea it was so hands-on.
Oh, God. Every single show, I'm never watching my show. I am right there as the girls go out, and I am making sure that the shoe looks good, that her hair looks good, that her jewelry is on right. And sometimes I'm putting stuff on her as she's just about to walk out.
Yeah,
it's moving so fast back there, you can't even imagine what's happening.
The room was so crowded. I'm like, how in the world did they get anything done? There's a million people around messing with each model.
That's high fashion, because that's the staff you have. I mean, when I was doing fashion shows, I might have the hairdresser, the makeup artist, and myself proofing each girl before she walked out. So it was just about three of us doing that. But yeah, when you're talking high fashion, you're talking Tom Ford, I'm sure he has a team, because he's got probably 65 looks.
Oh, yeah, he has a huge team.
You know?
Plus, he's walking through the room while all these models are getting dressed in makeup, and it was like...
Oh, he's making sure everything's on point.
It was really interesting. I got to tell you, I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Plus, he speaks so eloquently,
and he explains
his whole theory on everything. And honestly, you almost can't tell that he's gay. So I can understand that quote. He's like very, he's a very handsome man. Not that there aren't other gay men that are handsome. A lot of men that are gay are handsome. But he is like such a mogul. Is that a good word to describe him?
Sure.
And the next thing I was going to mention that really was interesting to me is that when he walked out of the fashion business to make a movie, a lot of people thought he was nuts, and they all were talking about
that. Is that why he left Gucci?
He needed a break. He just needed a break. And then he came up with this idea to make this film, and he made the film called A Single Man in 2009. Check this out. The guy's not even a film guy. He makes a film, and Colin Firth, who plays the lead, gets nominated for an Oscar.
And that's going to segue us into his other movie, his second movie, was Nocturnal Animals, which I told Steve to watch because I swear to you, for me, it's in my top 10 easily.
Really?
It's in my top 10 because of the cinematography and the colors, again, and the fact that I love Amy Adams. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I love the guy that plays the cop.
Michael Shannon.
Oh, God, what an awesome dude. And this movie, according to Steve, was dark and depressing, but I found it not – okay, and here I'm going to tell you why I found it not depressing. I really – sadly, when I saw this movie, I totally identified with Amy Adams. And you know why? Because I was in an unhappy marriage.
Yeah, her marriage in that movie was not very good.
And it's sad because she left her husband, her first husband, who was Jake Gyllenhaal. She left him because in the end of it all, she felt like he was weak. And that's the takeaway that I felt was you had this super driven woman who was a workaholic. She was a art gallery owner.
Very successful.
And a very successful woman came from a debutante Texas background or something like that. And he was like this, you know, boy that had come from a divorced family and he was sensitive and her mother looks at that as weak. And to me, it's the driven woman versus the sensitive man. And in the end, Jake Gyllenhaal sends her this book that he's written, which is titled Nocturnal Animals. And she's reading it throughout the whole movie. And in the end, there's nothing that is weak about that book. That book is powerful and intense and sad and violent. And it's basically about her and him and their child. And I'm not going to give away what happens, but there's nothing weak about that book. And that was the takeaway I took from that movie was how he comes out in the end and stands her up. They're supposed to meet to talk about the book, and he never shows up. And he wins in the end. And he's not weak in the least bit. And that's my takeaway. It's a very powerfully written movie. It the cinematography of all the architecture. At one point, there's a scene where he shows like the roads all intersecting together, and it's so visually pleasing. And Amy Adams with her deep auburn hair and her white skin and her deep
lipstick.
She looked
amazing in that film.
Oh, my God.
Her hairstyle I loved.
And the dress that she's wearing in the last scene, this green, olive, kind of chartreusey green dress.
I can see why you love this film.
God,
I know you love Tom Ford, but...
No, but the film, it was not even... I don't even know if I watched it because it was Tom Ford. I realized it was Tom Ford as I was heading to watch it. And I was like, Jesus, everything he does is phenomenal.
Can I just say that just because I said to you that I thought it was dark and depressing doesn't mean I didn't like the film. I thought the film was fantastic. I'm not going to give away the ending either and what happens to the characters. I do want to talk about Michael Shannon for a minute because Michael Shannon is an amazing actor and not that Amy Adams and Jake Gyllenhaal aren't, but Michael Shannon, I loved him when he played Kim Fowley in The Runaways. Okay, it was a music film about Joan Jett and Sheri Carey.
I think we should cover at some point.
Amazing actor. Yep. In this film, he played a complete completely different kind of role.
I feel like he always morphs himself.
And he was sad. This is why I said dark and depressing. All three of the main actors were really sad. Think about it. They were sad about their lives. They went through a horrible thing, which I'm not going to give away. You'll have to watch the film to see what I'm talking about. But it is one of those.
I don't think he's
sad. During that scene when the whole bad thing happens to Jake Gyllenhaal, mm-hmm. wasn't that one of the hardest things you had to ever watch on a film? I mean, it was so scary and the whole thing was like.
It was pretty awful.
But felt bad for him.
I've driven cross country and visualized that type of thing happening. And as a woman, I drove cross country back and forth all the way to California and back. And I rented a car phone back in 1996 because there was no such thing as, you know, cell phone. I mean, I think I had a cell phone.
That could easily happen to somebody.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, there's so many movies that have done this where, you know, you're driving across country and, you know, crazies in the middle of nowhere pull you over and take advantage of you. And that's what is happening in this film. And you totally identify with it. And, you know, what's interesting is, what's the gentleman's name? Shannon?
Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon. I don't know why I never knew his name. But it's funny. I didn't take him to be sad. I took him to be
he just was tough.
A middle Texan, you know.
Well, I meant what ends up happening to him was sad. I should have prefaced that.
Yeah, he ends up, you know, and I think we can tell the audience this.
He ends up dead.
He's smoking like a chimney, but you don't know he dies. You don't know he dies. You just assume he dies of cancer.
I guess I overassume that because I thought
he tells Jake Gyllenhaal's character that he has lung cancer and it's metastasized, and so he's just like balls to the wall, ready to like kill anybody because he's got nothing to lose. And that's a very Quentin Tarantino character to me. And Tom Ford, I guarantee you Tom Ford studied Quentin Tarantino to do that film.
And I'll almost guarantee that Quentin Tarantino liked that film without knowing that because it seems like it's right up his alley.
Exactly. It's very similar in the plot and in how everything works. There's that one scene. I feel like we need to talk about this because to me it's one of the most beautiful, sad, depressing, horrible scenes, but when they go out to the middle of the desert and they find the bodies and they're on a red velvet couch.
Of course you would notice that. I forgot about that. They were on a red velvet couch
with this beautiful body.
And
naked.
The way they were laid there, exactly. It was almost like a Tom Ford ad, right?
Stunning. Stunning.
Wow, you are like so, I mean, you're not gonna have an orgasm right now, are you? Because you're like
but like it was so raw.
Look on your face right now is like it was the greatest thing you ever saw, and I can understand that. That scene was heavy.
It's so heavy. I mean, he's finding out what's happened to his beautiful wife and beautiful daughter.
Only someone that's a fashion designer, now that I think of it, could have choreographed that when you think about it. Because I never thought about how beautifully made them look.
Oh, they were gorgeous.
And they were dead.
They were dead and they were gorgeous. And they're both blondes with this like milky white skin. And they're lying on this red velvet couch, which is odd to me that those Texas dirty, ratty, you know, back road guys would even have a couch that beautiful. And it wasn't like it was a dirty couch. It was
no.
That's my point, is like the cinematography that is in this film, even the scenes when they're showing like Texas in the early morning light with the sun rising. And I mean, even the scene when he's walking down the road and he's trying to hail a truck that drives, it's so beautifully done.
You know what's crazy? I looked it up. They made that film in California. Most of it was shot in Malibu.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
You know, Topanga Canyon, that whole area. You could find areas that look like that.
My uncle lives in Topanga Canyon.
That's a really cool area. Beautiful. I used to love driving through there. Unfortunately, they had those fires. And I don't know how much damage that did.
I went for a hike in Topanga Canyon a couple of years ago during spring break with my kiddo.
I only had one other thing about Tom Ford, which I thought was amazing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He takes 3 to 5 baths every day.
and you are a bath guy.
I wasn't until I moved into this apartment that I live in, and I love the apartment a lot, and there's no shower in it, but this really big old bathtub.
How much thinking do you do in the bath?
A lot. Mm-hmm. I love taking baths every morning now. It's like...
And look at that. Tom Ford is a bath guy. Yeah. And I bet it's because he can think the best in the bath.
When he said some days he would take a bath every hour, because it would just be the only way he could relax, it blew my mind.
Interesting.
He said this in an interview.
Well, here are his top 10 rules for success by Tom Ford. Be excited about your work, i.e. inspired. Always give your best. And that's what I was saying earlier. If you have high expectations, you have to give high expectations. And that's the way I've always done my work too, is I give my best. I expect the best from the others around me. Don't half-ass it, because I'll notice.
I know that about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Find the answer through your doubt. Now, this was interesting because he talks about the fact that he doubts everything he does until the minute it goes out on the runway, especially at a fashion show. And I never did, really. Like, I didn't change things at the last minute. Like, once I decided I was going to do a design, I stuck to it. Of course, things change and evolve. But he's actually, like, the night before, he'll scrap a whole series of looks and redo them. Now, obviously, if you're in high fashion, you've got a team of 50 people around you, you can make those changes. And he, rightfully so, can do that, given his success. But he says that a lot of times he's doubting what he does until, like, it's perfect. So that was interesting. Be determined. Be determined in all that you do. Know that you are going to have a goal and you're going to achieve it. Like, that is his motto. Feel everything you do. Feel it in your bones. Like, at one point, he says, he was talking to, I think he said it was Karl Lagerfeld, and, you know, he's getting awards up, down, and sideways for everything he'd done for Gucci, and he's like, I'm not feeling this. I'm numb. He was numb during all that. Like, he just didn't appreciate it.
Got a lot of awards.
And he was 30 years old. And this is what he was saying about this, was that when you're young, and I can say the same thing. When I was 27 up until 37, running my own business, running my own collection, running all that I did. I mean, I did, all my friends were having babies. I was running a business. And I would walk into my boutique every day and I'd see what was wrong with it. I'd see what was wrong with the boutique. I'd see what was wrong with my collection. I would see what was wrong with, you know, this or that. That is, and I didn't appreciate what I was doing and how much I had achieved. And I think now, and I'm determined to do this, and I think I said this before on one of the episodes, I am determined to appreciate this time, to appreciate my second go at entrepreneurship. And this is what he says about his collection and doing Tom Ford, everything that he does, he feels it now because he's got the passion behind it. Be driven. Be driven and know your goals and know what you want to achieve. Set your sights. Shoot for the stars. If you land at the moon, that's pretty damn good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be practical. Don't, you know, be erratic and a douche to everybody around you. Be practical. Know that people have their baggage that they're coming to the, you know, table with, and that you don't know if somebody's having a bad day. I mean, I used to always tell my girls, listen, I'm going to leave my baggage when I walk through the door, but if you're going through some stuff, talk to me. Tell me what's going on so I can support you. I think that's really important when you're a business owner and that you have a team and you're running a team. You need to be human and you need to, you know, support people. Create a great experience. I mean, man, this is another thing that he does so well. You walk into his perfume and makeup department in Saks Fifth Avenue and Nordstrom's and Bergdorf, and it's so visually pleasing. It's just, I could stand there for hours trying on the lipstick shades and looking at all the colors and listening.
Smelling the fragrances.
Yeah, I was going to say listening to the fragrances.
That vanilla tobacco one especially.
That tobacco vanille. Oh, God. He has something called Fucking Fabulous. He has a scent called Fucking Fabulous.
Is that for one of those for men and women?
Yeah.
I want that.
Yep.
I want Fucking Fabulous. You have to get... Where
there
can
we
I
go.
Get it?
There's your
scent. Probably like $250 a bottle.
Oh, it's
$275.
Oh, actually $285. Yep. And that's the smaller bottle.
You'll smell good, but you won't
be
able to pay your rent.
Fabulous, Steve. No, there's another one that's like Ode and Bergamot.
Oh, that's a good smell. So I like that.
Yeah, he has, I mean, the names of his fragrances are just unbelievable. I just love the names. There's actually another thing on YouTube. So this one for the 10 rules for success, I'll stay.
By the way, I wish I had that list when I was managing bands because that was a fantastic list.
And I haven't even finished it. The last two are stay grounded. Always stay grounded. Yep. And he is a Virgo and so am I, but he's a Virgo and Virgo is an earth sign. And we like to be grounded. I love to garden and I bet he does too. Like you love to work in the dirt. I'm also an ocean person. I love to be around water and I must have like a Pisces rising or something like that. But that's the whole astrological thing. Do you find that you take a lot of baths? Do you find that you're like, wait,
it's a
Gemini
new development, by the way, that just started in January.
A Gemini must be an air sign, I think. Why don't I know that?
Because
like the Cancer is the water sign. I know Gemini is not a fire. So it must be air. So do you find that wind affects you sometimes, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, I do actually. Mm-hmm. It does affect me very much.
Yep. Why?
Sometimes I like a nice breeze coming at me, and I like the smell of like fresh cut grass. And when I lived in California, I like the smell of the ocean, and the wind kind of brings that smell clearly to you. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Of course it does. Yeah, I mean, I love in the spring and the summer when you can smell the lilacs when you're on a walk, and it just you know, the wafting of the lilac. So stay grounded was number 9 and fulfill your destiny is number 10. And man, has Tom Ford fulfilled his destiny, you know? And I've got to believe that he is into the whole world of the universe and manifesting, you know, what you set out to do. And I mean, I will say that the last 2-3 years, I discovered this whole law of attraction and manifesting your destiny. And I know we talked about it in one of the other shows, but it is so on point. And it goes into the astrological world and it goes into being an entrepreneur and running your own thing and doing your own thing. And I think if you implemented some of these, you know, in your life, and I'm not talking to you, Steve, I'm talking to the audience, you know, you'll find that you'll achieve a lot more and you'll be successful at it.
I think that's a fantastic list.
Isn't it? It really is. And he has this other, this little capsule that he has on YouTube that's called like Mr. Palmer, I think it was. And it's his top 6 best, what's it called? Oh, Mr. Porter, Mr. Porter, his 6 rules for style. And I love this little video. It's a 3-minute video. You should Google Tom Ford's 6 Rules of Style, Mr. Porter.
I'm much in love with Tom Ford as you are now, by the way.
Good. We're inspired by him. I mean,
love to meet that
guy. I was inspired by the Studio 54 and their business acumen. I'm inspired by Tom Ford. He really, as I said, everything he does turns to gold because he's driven, period. He is on a mission.
Yeah, he is.
But these top 6 rules of style, he believes that every man, and it's all geared towards men, every man needs to have a clean white poplin shirt that is a collared shirt, Steve. It's a collared button down. I swear I have so much in common with him, and I never really knew what he stood for. I just knew that I loved what he does, and we're like really in line with our philosophies. he believes in every man, and I believe this for women, should have a beautifully structured cut black suit that makes you feel younger and trimmer. And you could correlate that to all people. You need to have a solid, well-fitted suit in your wardrobe. He believes that...
He doesn't like ties. I remember him saying that. He said he'll wear the tie for a short period of time, and then he has to take it off.
Yeah, he doesn't have ties.
He likes having his shirt opened. He wears these buttoned down.
But he's always in a black suit with a white shirt.
Yeah, he's looks awesome the way he dresses. I want to.
It's
I
clean
want some of those
and it's simple and it's sophisticated.
He's
and we're
so
going to talk about
looking,
the NBA players because they aren't so.
Are we segueing? Because there was one last thing I thought of that I forgot to mention.
Getting there, but go ahead.
He used to party with Andy Warhol. They were really good buddies. They went to Studio 54 together and everything.
So 61. So he would have been 17?
He was only 17 when he moved to New York, and he was immediately...
How did he make it into that scene?
He's Tom Ford. That kid,
yeah, but he
that
wasn't
was
Tom Ford, quote-unquote, then. I mean, wow. Where did he go to school?
Parsons.
Oh, okay.
I think he went to two colleges.
So that might be how he knew Warhol then.
Yeah, there's a bunch of pictures of him and Andy Warhol.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hanging out in Studio 54.
He was a 16-17-year-old gay man in New York City. I would think that he would want to get on Warhol's scene.
Yeah, he definitely was in that.
So one of the things he says in this Mr. Porter thing that I've always said, every woman that knows, oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm showing
sexy.
Sibeline a picture of him. The glasses he wears are fantastic.
Oh, yeah, those are his Tom.
He's always got like a half
he does,
a beard
a fat,
going.
5
you know?
O'clock shadow.
Yeah,
he always.
Says.
Always. As long, every picture I've ever seen of him has a 5 o'clock shadow.
That's
I know
just kind
a
of part
guys
of his image,
that.
Right?
Yeah. One of the things that I've said to my clients for many, many years, and a lot of people always ask me for fashion advice, better to be overdressed than underdressed in every event that you do.
I'm going to start
do and
doing
go
that.
To. Better to be overdressed than underdressed. You're going to look like a slob if you come in underdressed and people are better dressed than you. And you're going to feel like $1 million if you're better dressed than everybody else.
You know, this is only our fourth episode together, and I'm ready to undergo a complete fashion change.
I love it. Woohoo! That'll be so fun.
You've done it.
You
and Tom
wait.
Ford.
So he talks about the tuxedo and how... and. I get that not everybody's going to ever have a tuxedo in their wardrobe. That's like if you live that life, you have to have – I mean, I know a lot of people do have tuxedos in their wardrobe and they own them because they have black tie events that they go to. But he talks about how velvet fabric is the way to go with a tuxedo. And I hadn't thought of it that way, but velvet really does hold color. And it really – you can have a beautiful, deep – midnight velvet, you can have that deep red velvet, that deep green, you know, the hunter green velvet. And man, a woman or man is going to look like a million in a velvet tuxedo with a gorgeous lapel.
I'm not sure I'm ready to go that far, but you never know.
And then he also talks about fragrance and how everybody needs to have fragrance and a scent. Hello, what did I say the last couple episodes?
You're the queen of pheromones.
And, you know, everybody should have their own scent that people recognize them for, just like your ex-girlfriend.
Egyptian musk.
Mm-hmm. So, and then relax and meditate.
I need to do more of that. That's why I take the baths.
Okay, listen. There is this girl that I listen to. It's called Boho Beautiful Meditations. They're 16 minutes. I did one yesterday morning. It reset my entire vibe. It reset my entire day.
You'll have to give me that info later. I'm going to do
Boho Beautiful Meditation. I'm giving it to our audience too because I like her voice. I have to do guided meditations when I do them. I'm just – listen, people. I'm not like some cuckoo meditator person for my whole life. I just discovered meditation. But I think as you get older and you juggle so many things, especially for me as a single mom.
You're a juggler.
I juggle a lot. And I have to center myself and get just refocused because there's so much going on in life that meditation really does that. It does that, and it helps to just also the breathing. It's the breathing that I think clears your head. It gives you breathing's good. It just
everyone out there take a deep breath.
Exactly. So this past weekend, I went down to Greenwich, Connecticut.
I love Greenwich.
Wow. I love that place.
Could never afford to live there, but I love
it. Dude, the cars driving around that area are redonkulous. Yep, there's the word again. I mean, there's Lamborghinis, there's Maseratis, there's, I mean, all the really high-end cars. You're seeing them driving, like, that's their mode of transportation to go to the grocery store.
A very good friend of mine, Corey, grew up in Greenwich, and I was able to stay there several times, and it was like, oh, what a fabulous neighborhood. I mean, it doesn't get much better than
that. They call it the Avenue. Walking down. Let's go. We'll meet at the Avenue, girls.
And you're real close to the city, so it's
32
like,
miles.
Yeah. Is it really that
it's
far?
That.
Wow, I thought it was closer than that.
No, because you've got like Larchmont and all the other ones like just after it as you're heading down to the city, because I drove to the city yesterday to say hello to my cousin and grab some paintings of my father's that she had. But I was super inspired to walk the Avenue yesterday and the day before and see all the windows for spring and all the blooms and the flowers that are finally, you know, on the trees and in the gardens. And I got to tell you, people, get down to Zara right now. Zara is one of my favorite fast fashion stores. It's really affordable. And what they have in there right now is so colorful. There must have been, no joke, Steve, there were like 25 women in line to buy things at 3 p.m. on a Sunday at Zara. Like, there was like one quick thing I was going to pick up and walk away with. It was like $39. It was so cute. I look at the line and I'm like, forget that. I'll have to go in Boston. I hope they have the same collection in Boston. Do you know this about fashion? That certain areas and certain stores carry different things. So what they carry in Greenwich, Connecticut, in Zara, may be completely different one than what they carry in Boston.
Wow.
It's not always different, but they have to. And okay, so that's actually maybe less likely to happen because it's the Northeast. But if you are in Texas or in California or in Florida or in Montana, I'm not saying that Montana has Zara. I don't know, but
there's a big Zara in Butte, Montana. I have no idea. I don't even know
Boise,
why I said that.
Idaho.
I'm sure.
No.
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Think about it.
Getting
though.
Silly.
Think about it though, right? Like you've got Floridians, you've got Texans, you've got Californians. Oh boy.
I'm Massachusetts.
Like Massachusetts and Bostonians. Every one of those regions is a different weather. It's a different, you know.
I hear you.
Right? So everybody carries slightly different things in the different brands. All right. I guess we need to segue into our NBA basketball players and the best fashion.
What was that? Vanity Fair magazine. Our friend Alvin Long gave me a Vanity Fair magazine with the best dressed NBA players. But Rajon Rondo and Russell Westbrook aren't in there. I was disappointed by that. But You said that DeAndre Jordan was the best dressed.
Brooklyn Nets DeAndre Jordan takes it 100,000% for me. He is classy. He is sophisticated. He's got the hat.
Oh, yeah, that hat he's wearing is great.
He's got great luggage. He's got incredible shoes. This man is my best-dressed NBA basketball player.
Nice.
Then there is – I'm looking at this now. Let's see. You got PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka.
It's really funny that you know nothing about these guys.
I know nothing about these guys.
Fashion.
You guys,
I love it.
I have no idea anything. Who are these guys?
You don't even know
the
if they're all stars or what team
the
they play
Rockets,
for.
Never even. No, I have no. Okay, what? Wait. Okay, hold on. I played basketball, so I can talk basketball. What does DeAndre Jordan play? Is he a center?
He's a center.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
So he's the rebound guy.
He's a shot blocker, rebounder, defender.
Who does he play up against? Like, who's his top competitor?
Joel Embiid? I mean, that's a tough question because the NBA kind of like a lot of shifting goes on mm-hmm. defense. But
we're going to talk about Michael Jordan too because
he was pretty good.
Which one?
Michael Jordan. Well, he's not related to DeAndre Jordan.
No. But I was gonna circle into that too. So we got Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka. He looked really good in those clothes.
I'm digging this look. He's got orange, lots of oranges. Oh my god, he has a scarf that
we should tell people what issue that is.
Yeah, we started talking about this last week. This is Vanity Fair, April 2021.
Oh, Brent, it's a new issue. It's out now.
Yep. It's currently on the newsstand. It's got Anya Taylor-Joy from Queen's Gambit on the cover. It's actually got some really great articles.
It's funny because Alvin Long goes, we got to get Cipollini's opinion on this. And that's why he gave me the magazine, so you would give your opinion.
I got to tip my hat to PJ Tucker, though. Houston's Rocket, what does he play?
He's a power forward, but he's pretty small for a power forward.
Yeah, so he's like the guy doing the points, right? Is he a three-point shooter?
Yeah, he does shoot the three, but he's mm-hmm. more of a defensive specialist. None of those guys on that list are like great, you know, upper echelon players.
Well, but they have style.
Yeah, they have style.
And that's why they're in Vanity Fair. And you don't have to be a top echelon player to have style.
Exactly. This has nothing to do with their playing ability.
Because what they're talking about in this article, too, is how right now, because we're all so starved for life, these guys walking the tunnel is the catwalk.
Yeah, exactly. It's really interesting seeing them come in before the game. I was disappointed. My favorite team is the local Boston Celtics. Mm. And Jason Tatum just didn't deliver the goods in that photo spread on him.
He's got it all wrong.
He's really also only 22 years old, too, so maybe he hasn't figured it out yet.
It's not good. He needs a stylist. Somebody needs to help this boy.
Well, he's right down the street, Sibylline.
I'd be happy to give him a little...
I think you should head over to the Red Auerbach Center over there in Alston and go ask
for Jason Tatum, if you're listening, I'd love to help you go, you know, kind of get your style in check.
I'd love to take you shopping.
Oh, my God. Chris Paul, though, I gotta tip my hat. He gets honorable mention here. He likes green, clearly, because he's wearing a lot of this like cool, funky green. He is mixing plaids with stripes. Did he go to Howard? Maybe
he's probably one of the best players in that group of guys.
And what does he play for the Phoenix Suns?
He's a point guard.
Aha, uh-huh. I know point guard.
Runs
That's what
show.
I was.
He's like a coach on the court. He's really good.
So he's like a Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's. Mm-hmm. Well, not exactly, but he does run the offense, you know?
Yeah, well, that's... I think you have to be a team leader, and you can't just... I mean, the one thing that bummed me out a little bit about Michael when I watched Last Dance, the documentary about Michael Jordan, I was a little bummed out that he intimidated players that he played with. Like, it's kind of surprising to me that... You know, he was just such a fierce competitor. And he just wanted to win it all.
I still think he's the
counts.
Greatest ever. I don't care how many people tell me LeBron's better. No, I still think Michael Jordan was the greatest ever. Plus, he had good style, too.
Oh,
I mean,
he was king of
you
style.
You have to appreciate
Remember?
That.
I mean, the shoulder pads. Yeah, the shoulder pads and the suits that those guys wore in the 80s. I mean, it was just like he was dripping in his clothes. But that was the look, you know? It was like this oversized suit. But he was always so well-dressed. And he seems like such a gentleman to me.
I like Michael Jordan. I always liked him, even though he beat on my team quite a bit.
So when I was in high school, I went to California to visit my uncle for spring break. And I remember my cousin just absolutely idolizing Michael Jordan. And so he was on my radar because of that. And then recently I was literally doing laundry and folding clothes, and I turned on Last Dance, the documentary about
him. I haven't
him.
Seen that yet, believe it
I
or
really
not.
Recommend it.
Everyone
knowing,
is telling me I need to see it.
Knowing that you're such a basketball guy, it just brought me back, man. I remember those guys. I remember when Rodman, you know, joined the team. And, I mean, Scottie Pippen, what a good dude. And he kind of got, like... They really treated him poorly. Who was the manager that was such a dink?
The coach, you mean Phil Jackson?
No, Phil Jackson. God, look at what he did. He was like into yoga and meditation and all that stuff.
About?
I'm talking about the head of the house at, you know, Chicago. The dink, the little short fat guy that was an asshole.
Oh, you mean the general manager? I can't remember his name.
Anyway, I don't remember his name, nor do I care about his name. But he was such a douche. And Scottie Pippen...
It's going to be hard to cut this part out.
No, I don't want to cut this part out. I mean, Scottie Pippen got robbed. Robbed. Anyway, Michael Jordan and NBA players and all the incredible fashion sense. I really do appreciate a well-dressed sports player and a well-dressed musician and a well-dressed man and all of those things, as always. So today.
Jerry Krause. Sorry, it took me so long to remember that.
That guy.
I had to cheat
Jerry
and look it up.
Jerry Krause. Ugh.
Wow, you're making me want to see that now. I didn't realize he treated Scottie Pippen poorly.
Oh, no. They robbed Scottie Pippen of a lot of...
Money?
Money, yes. He was getting paid nothing in comparison to the other guys on the team, and he's still bitter about it. And he left. He quit. He quit. You know, and then he kind of, it's a sad story about Scottie Pippen because.
It's interesting hearing someone's take on this that isn't a basketball fan. So I have to refresh my memory on that. I haven't seen the
film. I mean, we could talk about it one day because I really, there's so, it's a docuseries. So it's just like each episode, I remember these 80s and 90s. I remember everything. And I had no idea what
happened
to Michael
Jordan's dad.
They had
a great run. I'll tell you that. The Bulls had a great run. I think 6 titles.
And then for him to retire and come back. I mean, man. And listen, one of the things we talked about the other day that I said I wanted to talk about is Michael Jordan was like dragged through the press because of his gambling. Now, this man likes to play cards. And he likes...
You like to play cards.
I do. And listen, and it doesn't mean that you're a derelict gambler because you like to play cards.
Right.
He's highly competitive at everything he does. That doesn't make him a derelict, like he's blowing money. But these guys have money, so they're gambling.
By the way, you might not know this, but he's doing a great job running an NBA team right now, the Charlotte Hornets. He runs the whole show, and they're actually getting good. They really are. He's built a great young team.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're a team of the future right now.
I'm gonna check this out. I'm a huge fan. Everything he does. Again, another guy that
it's taking him a little while to build the team, but I think he's getting to a point now where he's becoming very respected. For the team he's put together now is really, I just watched them yesterday destroy the Celtics.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I have a lot of respect for Phil Jackson and the relationship that they had together. And I remember Phil Jackson. Like, I remember him growing up. And, I mean, I am a basketball fan in some ways. I mean, I played it.
You went to Syracuse.
I went
there
to Syracuse.
There you go. You've got Syracuse in the show again.
I mean, you know, we had Carmelo Anthony come out of Syracuse.
Sherman Douglas, the general.
There was one dude, the giant, giant
I didn't know
dude,
this was going to be a sports podcast. You didn't give me any heads up on this.
You told me to address the NBA basketball
well,
players'
I thought we were talking
sense.
About the way they dress.
Listen, I love sports. Do you know how much I love sports? We've never talked about this yet.
I can see that now.
I do. I was a huge – I played volleyball, basketball, lacrosse, soccer, and softball.
You're competitive. I believe it. You're probably the hustler on all those teams.
I definitely was. So I know we wanted to give a quick shout out to Diesel Cafe.
Yes.
Because they finally have lemons.
Oh, you're stealing my thunder.
I went in
there this morning, right? And I go there all the time to get iced tea. And for some reason during the pandemic, they haven't had lemons. So I walk in the door and immediately I hear them behind the plexiglass, Steve, we got lemons. Because I've been driving them crazy for lemons. So I told them, we're going to mention you on our show this week.
So how long has Diesel been open? They've been open for a really long time.
I think they just had like a 25-year anniversary or something. But I started going there around 2003 or 4.
I was going to say, I opened Cibolene in Davis Square in 2002.
Maybe it was 2 when I started
going
there.
And they were just getting open as well, I think. And I used to go there all the time. Their salads were phenomenal. I love sitting in there. It's just got
really
a great
cool
vibe.
Yeah, it's For people that don't know, it's in Davis Square in Somerville, which a lot of people refer to Davis Square as one of the best neighborhoods in America. And it's no joke. Mm. It really is a really good neighborhood. Living there would be is a fantastic place to live.
I wish feel I like still I lived there because I had my boutique there. And I
did live
the
there and I miss it. But now it's unaffordable. Mm-hmm. It's really ridiculously high. But Diesel...
I love the neighborhood vibe because you've got college kids, you've got a...
Tufts is right there. Harvard's not far away.
You've MIT's got a big lesbian community in Davis Square.
Huge lesbian community. And that always makes a neighborhood better, if you ask me.
Yeah, and the women at Diesel all run... I mean, there's a whole... or there is co-owners?
Or Jess there's a whole is team. Who I know. Jess...
I don't believe she's an owner,
though. I just
call
her Jess Diesel.
Yeah, Jess, and so ironically, we were talking about this the other day. So I did Jess's, I did a custom shirt for her wedding, and her wife, I designed her wedding dress.
That's amazing. I love Diesel because whenever I went in there, I would see people I knew that were in music. Steve Buckley used to hang out there at Boston. We were talking about sports before, famous Boston sports writer. I got to know Steve. Because he would be in there, and one day I'm like, I'm going to go talk to Steve Buckley. And so I sat down, and then whenever I came, hey, Steve, it's really nice. A lot of musicians.
I was going to say, I feel like I bumped into L.E.V. there once.
Oh, yeah, L.E. Mm-hmm. We had meetings there, a lot of meetings. I used to have Twisted Rico management meetings there, Red Car
I used to have Cibeline meetings. Management meetings there.
It's just a good place to hang. It was always hard to get a booth.
Always.
You wanted a booth, though.
Always. I was always pissed off when there was one person in a booth on their computer.
That happened a lot. And hopefully they'll open up soon and we can go back in there because that is a great – I really miss hanging out there. I really do.
Yeah.
Now you can't get past the front door.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
It's a bummer. I look in there and I'm like, I miss hanging out back there because it's a real huge room. They have
it's
pool
huge.
Tables,
oh,
art
I used
shows.
To play pool and, yeah, the art shows.
Art's always
right.
going on. Definitely
yes, yes.
one of
well,
my favorite.
Well, hopefully we're all opening up a little bit again, right?
And, you know, I got to talk about the iced tea for a second here because I love their iced tea. And people are like, you always go there and spend so much money just to get an iced tea. I'll tell you why. I've made my iced tea many times, but for some reason, I don't know what they put in their iced tea. But it's fantastic. It's worth $4 for an iced tea.
And I thought my dirty chai was worth $7. No, I'm kidding.
You know what? They are pricey, but you know what? Some places are worth it. Mm-hmm. They're worth it. Mm-hmm. I'll go there and pay the extra money. You know?
Today I brought my own coffee. But yeah, I agree.
You're mad because I didn't get you a coffee. I'm sorry. It'll never happen again.
It's okay, Steve. I don't pay for coffee. I make coffee at home.
Yeah, but you like Diesel's coffee, and I didn't get
I
you
do.
One this week.
I do. I liked their Americano that you got
I was
me
3 for
ago.
3, and I blew it on episode 4.
Oh,
I'm
not
you
at
coffee,
all. Not
so
at all.
I'm embarrassed
I want to. I want to kind of segue into two little things. One, Mother's Day weekend of my art gallery is actually going to be the first Friday of the month. So May 7th is our next first Friday. It's my second time having live music in the gallery, and it'll be from 5 to 9. We have a little vignette, a little capsule of the Ode to the Women in My Father's Life. And guess what? I'm also showcasing my mother this month.
That's
it's
awesome.
Mother's Day month, and I felt like I was remiss.
Mom.
I know. I was remiss to, like, feature my mother. She's an incredible watercolorist, and she does all, like,
your family's
you know,
amazing.
I really do have a creative family, and I'm lucky. I'm lucky to come from these jeans. So I just
you
wanted to.
You always wear nice jeans too.
Oh, thanks. You do too. We're gonna get you better
you.
Ones. But my mother is going to be featured. We've got probably about I don't know maybe 20 pieces that we'll feature for her. We're gonna hang the
Ooh,
show
excited.
At the end of this week, beginning of next week. And then the Crowd Me, I'm Alone exhibit, if you haven't come down, it's going to be up until the 16th. But we're getting close to taking that one down. And then my big grand opening, which will be Cycle the Bicycle exhibit. That will be kicking off for June 4th, first Friday.
I'll be there.
So 460C Harrison Avenue, we're going to have live music. Listen,
End,
if you
Boston.
Guys want to have an event in my gallery space, we're going to do events. We were even talking about doing our podcast live. A live
podcast from the gallery.
Just as a, like a, yes. I don't know, maybe, who knows? We'll see if we can pull it off.
We're working on
just
it.
Just one time. Doesn't have to be a lot. But we'll talk about our lineage another time. I think we're running out of time here. And we were going to do this whole thing on building a musician. Do we have enough time to
we
go could
do
a couple?
It next time. Tom Ford deserved all the time, I think.
I apologize because
no,
we can.
He deserved
we
every
can talk
second.
Like till the cows come home, can't we, Steve?
We can't. I think that's why people love us
and want to sponsor our show.
Yeah, we got to get a sponsor. the email address
seems to me csr@gmail.com. Hey, listen, if you want to email us and let us know that there's a subject matter you'd like us to cover and you have questions for us regarding music and fashion and food and film, I think we did a good job today covering all those four pieces because Tom Ford is a genius and he created two films and he's created, he's probably done food for all I know. I don't know that.
I've learned a lot from you since I've met you. But Tom Ford might be one of the best things you've ever taught me about. He
awesome.
Is unbelievable. I knew him, but I didn't know him. Now I feel like, put it this way, I'm going to take more than one bath a day from now on.
I love it. Maybe I should start taking baths. I do enjoy a good bath here and there, but I feel like I never make the time.
I just love that a guy admitted he takes five baths a day. That just made me like so happy.
And you know what another one of his sayings is that sleep is a guilty pleasure.
Who needs sleep?
I mean, hey, when you're a fashion mogul like he is, I mean, fashion, film, fragrance, makeup mogul, I mean, who sleeps, you know? Anyway, well, we'll cover music, the music industry stuff on our next show, or we'll segue it into it. We have some great lineups for some great shows coming at you.
I'm going to make you do 100 episodes minimum, so we'll have plenty of time.
Wow. I'm like floored at the idea of that. But all right. I'm having fun.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Sibley.
Thank you, Voice Motel.
Mike Nash. Mike Nash is doing a great job.
Awesome. Toodles. Take another round.